X.
You're sitting here yakking in my face. I'm gonna have to put you in your place. You know if silence was golden, you couldn't make a dime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime.
Yeah, it's another wet summer morning in Montreal. You're listening to the XX Files here on CKUT 90. What is it? I've been gone so long. 90.3 FM. I can barely read the wall. Ah, cable people.
And you're wearing glasses.
And I'm wearing glasses, which is scary, which means note to self, next month, eye check, yes.
Yeah, it's time for the optometrist appointment.
It's like you get to a certain point, it's pap smear and eye check. Yes, ladies, don't forget springtime, summer, pap smear check. Okay. And, I'm here, Val Techie Gal. What day is it? The 15th of June? Anita Juanita's here. We got
Hello.
A full house. We got Kapwani Kiwanga here with us. Welcome, Kapwani.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
She's here as a visiting artist, ex-McGill alumnus.
Eyebrows raised.
Eyebrows rolling. That's that Edinburgh media base training there. She's got the discreet eye roll. Oh, my God. And what are you doing here, Kapwani? You want to tell us a little about yourself first?
About me. Well, I was doing my undergrad here in Montreal and took off to travel for a bit and got stuck very nicely in Edinburgh and started to do some film work. And from there, kind of moved on to some web-based things, etc. And was actually back in Canada working on my current project was called 17 by 18, which is looking at high-rise living in low-income areas in Paris, France, Glasgow, Scotland, and in Toronto. So being in Toronto and not so far from Montreal, much closer than Edinburgh, and
yeah,
loving this city and having to kind of reconnect with friends who have really become family, I thought I'd stop by here and kind of reconnect with some people, and I'm heading back to Toronto on Friday to continue.
Work on 17 by 18?
That's right, yeah.
Well, we have some pretty tall, ugly buildings here in Montreal, too.
There's tall, ugly buildings everywhere, and I'm thinking I could probably stretch this out till I'm 90, until they demolish all of the buildings and make nice row condos that are about four stories high, which seems to be...
Is that happening?
That seems to be the kind of trend, at least in Europe, that they're trying to get rid of all these unsightly, as they see them, tall buildings, and knock them down and put other tall buildings, which then become really expensive condos.
And so, somehow less unsightly, perhaps? More gardens?
I think there's
like
just
that.
Rich people living in them as opposed to people who are on social benefits. So I think that seems to be the trend. But
so that to me says to my utopian consciousness, the rich people are the old poor people who used to live there, but they've been economically upgraded somehow.
It seems to be this kind of this cycle where, people were living out in the suburbs because that was very desirable about 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the buildings start degrading... the poor people get sent out there, and then, the people with money get put back downtown. So it's kind of a flip-flop, it seems to be happening in a lot of the cities that I've been visiting.
That's true. That's what's going on. Huh?
Mm.
The old suburbs are now the yuck-burbs.
So you said you got to Edinburgh. What made you sort of gravitate to Edinburgh and stay there?
I wish I had this very kind of precise and concise, I don't know, life plan, but I was just traveling about and had friends that were there and said I'd go there, make some money so I could travel, because the pound is twice as strong as the dollar. So it's really a terrible financial reason. But then getting there, I was so lucky to fall into a job at a media access center called Edinburgh Media Base, and received a kind of a year post to work there and develop a training program. So I trained 20 people from what in the UK they call black and minority ethnic, which I think in Montreal we call people of colour, in video production. So over the course of 9 weeks, these 20 people made 8 short films, just to give people kind of something to add to the portfolio and to try to, I guess, diversify some of the proposals that were going into a lot of the television and just kind of short film circuits in Scotland. Mm-hmm. So that was my first real I guess commitment to Edinburgh. And then from there, I was lucky enough to get commissioned to do a couple television documentaries. And then of course one thing leads to another, and you meet great people and you want to work with them and you stay, and it's a lovely city as well. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Great. Well, that's pretty Ooh. Good.
and you've trained, you say, over 20, I don't know what to call them, multimedia, ethnic-oriented artists.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we can hyphen ourselves away to nothing at the end. I actually was coordinated, and I hired two very, very talented people to do the kind of the hands-on training. Mm-hmm. So there was 20 people, and they all came. It was great because they came from different backgrounds. So people who've had media degrees but weren't able to really crack the industry, basically, and people who'd come back, you know, from journalism degrees who'd just immigrated from either Turkey or Western Africa, and people who just had skills that needed to be transferred, or had creative talent that just needed to have a bit of resource behind it, because of course doing media stuff, it is becoming more accessible now. Mm-hmm. But not everyone has a digital camera, not everyone has access to editing and all the rest. So mm-hmm. it was just kind of saying, this is the tools here, and you have all the skills, just, you know, we'll give you a bit of support in that. So it was really a great experience, and I think these 20 people, I mean, a great proportion of them are still in contact and have kind of created this informal network, which was, you know, mm-hmm. one of the secondary goals as well, to see that there's a community that was being created out of that. So that was really, really, I guess, rewarding for me to see that there was going to be a legacy that came out of that as well.
Yeah.
You were at McGill, as we mentioned. You're an McGill. Alumnus. Yeah. You have a Bachelor of Arts from McGill.
That's right.
And you've become someone who's obviously been working in Edinburgh with media. You're a two-time BAFTA nominee. That's the British Arts,
British Academy of Film and Television Arts.
That's right. How did you go from, I guess, your McGill degree to getting involved with video work and also into your web-based work?
Yeah, I think it's something that in my second year at McGill, I did know that I wanted to, because I studied anthropology and religious studies. What does that have to do with media arts? Everything, I suppose.
Next question.
and I think writing papers and all that seemed to be one way of communicating and reflecting on the world, but I wanted something that was a bit more immediate and a bit more democratic that could get to more people. Mm-hmm. So there was a wonderful woman named Katrina Chizik who came in to give a guest lecture for one of the summer classes that I was attending, and she had done some films on Rwanda and clandestine immigration, and she's gone on to do some amazing films since then. And kind of started to chat to her and say, well, how did you get into this? And so she was informally a mentor to me, just kind of giving me some inspiration as to how you start getting into the film and documentary world. So I kind of kept that seed as I finished off my degree, because, mm-hmm. you know, I said, well, you need your papers to be able to kind of get on and convince people to give you money to do the things you want to do.
Yeah, so get the degree. People.
Yeah.
Listen
so
to her.
There you
get
go.
Get the degree.
So that's it. That I just kind of kept that and kept my antenna, I guess, up to find opportunities. And when I left McGill, I said, well, this is what I'm gonna find areas in which I can grow, and, you know, put in applications and pitched ideas to different television companies and funding schemes for documentary film, and was lucky enough to be quite successful in, well, the past year was a good year for me.
Mm-hmm. So very productive year. Mm-hmm. You made two broadcast films and one non-broadcast commission. That's and got the two BAFTA nominations. Mm-hmm. Fantabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to go over maybe some of those works, actually. Mm-hmm. And obviously documentary filmmaking is quite a passion mm-hmm. of yours. The first one was Rooted. Could mm-hmm. you tell us a bit about what Rooted was on?
Right. Rooted is a short half-hour television broadcast film which looks at Afro-Caribbean hair salons in Edinburgh. And it was looking at this as a kind of an island, an island within Edinburgh as a city, where women from African descent would join each other, and it would form kind of an informal social club, I suppose. And I found that quite interesting, because the population of, well, non-white European, I suppose, in all of Scotland is about 1%.
Wow.
And then you kind of cut that by the majority are Pakistani and Indian. So those of African and Caribbean descent are quite small. So mm-hmm. there's a few hair salons that end up being quite important to I guess social and moral, kind of just keeping people's morale up, I suppose, mm-hmm. in reconnecting with their culture and experience sharing. So it was a very interesting space where women would meet and share. So I just thought I'd kind of hang out with them, and and it's been great because I go back and I just hang out as well at the hair salon now with Anna, who's one of the main contributors to the documentary. She's had, I think she opened up the first Afro-Caribbean hair salon in Edinburgh, and she's been there for over 20 years. And I go in and have a tea and just sit and chat with her from mm-hmm. time to time. So she's become a friend, which is great.
And she's originally from Ghana.
That's right. She's from Ghana. She migrated to Edinburgh. I think she was studying. Yeah, she was studying nursing and stayed and got married and raised her family there. And, mm-hmm. and there you go. But she still sees Ghana as her home and says that when she finishes up with the salon, mm-hmm. she's going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Cool.
And another one was Passages. I believe,
mm-hmm.
Which also got a lot of notice. Mm-hmm. What was that work about?
Okay, well, Passages was actually a commission from a women's NGO in Edinburgh called Sahelia, which deals with women and mental health, basically. And they were wanting to just explore the idea of migration through a few different perspectives. And they asked me to interview Scots who had lived abroad and kind of look at their experiences as being Scots. And there's a gentleman who was in Saudi Arabia, a gentleman who was in China, a woman who was in what was then Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, and also another woman who was in Uganda. And just kind of looking, I think trying to debunk the myths of migration into Scotland by taking the reverse and looking at people who from Scotland had gone and lived or studied or worked overseas, and just kind of questioning the ideas of privilege, race, class, and all of those within that specific context.
Uh-huh.
So that was it was great. That was a lot of fun as well to do that.
And Bon Voyage as well.
Yeah,
that's an
Bon
interesting
Voyage.
One.
Bon Voyage was a lot of fun. It's probably the most fun to work on because it was so short. It's a little three minute film
uh-huh.
that looks at a woman whose name is Madame Folie, and she's from Togo, and she's working as a cleaner in the toilets of the Montparnasse train station in Paris. So unlike most places here, I think we don't have to pay too much to use the toilets here.
Right.
But when you go into the train stations there, you have to, I think it's 50 What's 50 cents
yeah, it's
or
almost
a
80
euro.
Cents, I think,
yeah.
A euro now.
Almost a euro, too.
But 20.
To go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a shower, because there's showers there as well, it kind of the price goes up. And uh-huh. it's just kind of looking at her work and her work environment.
And it's a documentary of hers.
It is a documentary, yeah. Very, very short and uh-huh. short and sweet, I'd hope.
About the time it takes to go pay and come back out.
There you go.
Well, I find it interesting. There's a quote, I believe for you, where it said, "Life in Europe is hard. You must lose everything except your courage."
Yeah, that's Madame Folly.
Okay,
said that.
Okay.
That's not me.
Okay.
I'm not as wise as Madame Folly. And she's, yeah, it's basically that's one of, as you're going through this short film, you see kind of the disillusionment to a certain extent from being in Africa and looking to Paris and saying Paris, the kind of the golden city and mm-hmm. the land of opportunities, and then coming and realizing that there are opportunities, but they're quite limited to what you can do, and it's often serving others. So that's cleaning people's toilets mm-hmm. Or being invisible in labor in a lot of ways. So that was a bit of the impetus behind that, was just to give a face to these women who often give your euro to, but not really look in the eye and not kind of question what stories are behind these women in the work that mm-hmm. gives, as much as we might regret paying almost a euro to use the toilet, we also have clean services to do our thing as uh-huh. well. So yeah, that was what her quote, that life in Paris, and then she said, she kind of pauses, in Europe is hard, but you have to have courage and continue mm-hmm. on despite that. So a very inspiring and wise woman, really.
And definitely very poignant video, just because, mm-hmm. of course, France often has a lot of labor strife, a lot of, let's, be frank, I guess, xenophobia. And as you say, the faceless workers that mm-hmm. Do have stories, do have lives, mm-hmm. and are vital to actually mm-hmm. the all the workings mm-hmm. of society, mm-hmm. Doing jobs, like this.
Yeah, it was quite interesting to see. I think hadn't spent that much time in New York, but I think New York and Paris are two of the cities that kind of marked me as far as going and seeing really racially the kind of division of labor. And you'll find a lot of African and I guess gender as well. So African women and specific parts of Africa as well who are doing working in toilets and others that would be working in restaurants. And it is actually at some points divided by country. So it's quite interesting to kind of look at that and to question why that happens. So, yeah.
So you've gone from these great noticed films that you've done, wonderful works, of course, and as we've said, BAFTAs, BAFTA nominations, to web-based work, 17 by 18. How did you sort of go, I'm not going to use the word evolve, because you probably
transition.
Go back and forth, but transition, yeah, from video or TV to that?
I think, as anything, I think I reflect on what I see. And I try to find the tools that will best communicate what I've seen. And the films that I did were film format. The idea that I had, the way that I wanted to explore the idea of social housing and poverty, I suppose, seemed to be best fitted to new media and web-based work. Mm-hmm. And also, to be honest, there's also a lot more liberty in that, because if you're working for a television company, you're producing a product, and you quickly learn that they have an audience, they have a certain number of quotas that they have to bring in, and they have a final say in a lot of things. And there was, you know, in anything, you have your little struggles, and you stand your ground, and you have to acquiesce on some things, and some things you say, no, I can't. And I didn't really want to have to struggle with those kind of things on this project. And it seems a bit, to me, it seems much more democratic as well, as far as people will have a lot of access to that. And the people that are participating in this project, it's basically I'm documenting the lives of residents in these high-rise social housing units, hoping that they will start communicating amongst themselves as well and sharing their experiences, if not just information. So it offers so many levels that television, unfortunately, cannot. So that's kind of the reasoning behind that.
And we should say that the three cities are Glasgow, Toronto, and Paris.
That's right, yeah.
They're all ready to be digitally in communication with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the sort of the nature of the look of the project? Like, how does one interact with it?
This is still very much the evolution, because I'm in the kind of collecting phase, which is a lot of fun, and I'll soon move into the dark editing room stage where I don't see anybody for months and I become kind of antisocial. So it'll evolve, I think, with when I've got everything kind of together, but I do see it layered as well, where the first interaction with that will be quite atmospheric and impressionistic. So photos, video and soundscapes of everyday life, kind of the humdrum of, you know, bathing your children, washing the dishes, you know, watching
taking
people
out the trash.
Yeah, all that non-sensational stuff. Mm-hmm. And then interviews, sound interviews with the residents, and then kind of allowing links and kind of interaction further deeper within that, so longer bits of the interview. And really wanted to explore virtual reality, so QuickTime VR, working with that, so that people move within the space, really to try to draw people into the idea of what it is to be living in these boxes that are stacked one upon the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem quite simple, but I think if people will follow me on the journey, once you get in there, I think it becomes much more subtle and complex, the kind of what you can do with a box and what kind of values and experiences are invested in these boxes, really. So
I don't know if you've thought about this much, but probably the three cities. Why Glasgow, Paris, Toronto?
Yeah, it's, as I was kind of alluding to before, you could kind of choose any city in the world and there would be the similarities and differences. There's a few different reasons. And also the title of the project is a bit of a clue. 17 by 18 is a reference to Le Corbusier's the Unité des Habitations, which is a building in Marseille, which was quite influential in architecture and international architecture afterwards for building high-rise living. And in Glasgow particularly, urban planners went down and visited Marseille and took from that ideas to build their high-rises after the war. And sometimes not with the best effect, because they took, you know, buildings that were made for the southern of France and put them into, you know, northern European climates, which didn't always work. So there was that link there architecturally. And then also because both France and Great Britain have links with Canada, because Canada has links with almost everywhere in the world as well, it seemed to be a good way to make a full circle, but also with the language as well, because Canada is officially a bilingual country, although sometimes we don't live it that way. And because we will have, in Paris, be French speaking, and in Toronto mostly English, so it seemed to be a good in between to have the translations as well between those different cities.
Is there a part of Toronto that you're focusing on right now?
Well, I've done kind of the first part of my Toronto bit, and I've looked at Jane and Finch area, which is kind of North York.
Lots of high rises.
Yeah, it's got a high concentration, definitely. And I'm also looking at St. Jamestown, which is in the center of Toronto, just around Parliament, and in the area which I think now they're calling Cabbage Town. So, and those are quite interesting buildings, because it's such a densely populated area. I mean, you've got small cities in, you know, a very, very small section of the city. So it's really interesting areas, and great people have been really, really generous with their time and have a lot to say and a lot to kind of to contribute to discussions about their lives, but also about poverty and urban planning and all the rest. So it's quite fortunate to have met the people I've met so far. It's been a great educational experience for me just to chat with interesting people.
Always important on any project. And just
a
so you know, we're speaking with Kapwani Kiwanga, and right now we're just going to go to a few messages.
Okay.
CKUT is hiring financial and administrative staff. The administration finance staff is responsible for overseeing the administrative and financial operations of CKUT. The admin finance staff works in conjunction with the board of directors, as well as the steering and finance committees, to ensure that CKUT's bookkeeping and administrative tasks are in order, and assists in facilitating communications between committees. For full details, please check out CKUT's website at www.ckut.ca. If you have experience crunching numbers, or if you have negotiation savvy, please send us your CV with a cover letter to CKUT, Administration and Finance Staff, 3647 University, H3A2B3, or send your CV and cover letter to accounting@ckut.ca. Deadline for applications is June 30th. Only those being considered for an interview will be contacted.
Hi, this is Larry Blackman from Cameo, and you're listening to CKUT. Ow.
Okay, it's the 15th of June. It's about 4 minutes before noon, even though it's hard to tell that because it's very dark outside, because it's going to start raining, and we already heard the thunder. It's a thunderstorm coming,
kaboom.
Folks. Kaboom, kaboom. If you haven't seen a movie, today might be the afternoon to take it in. Otherwise, clean your studio. That's what I'm going to have to do today. It's the XX Files here on CKUT 90.3 FM, www.ckut.ca on the World Wide Web. We're talking to Kapwani Kiwanga about her works, her inspiration. She transitioned from anthropology and cosmology at McGill, and now she is training and making filmmakers while she makes her own film and movies on the web and on the big screen. And 17 by 18, the project that she's working on now, is what we were just talking about. And it's going to be hosted somewhere online one day.
Yeah. www.17by18.com, but not for a few months yet.
Okay.
I need to put in my hours of collection, I suppose.
Yeah, collect in the summer, edit in the winter and the fall, and release in the spring when everybody wants to go out and party.
But if you do want to find out more about Kapwani, there's definitely information on the web. Just type in a Google search engine, Kapwani, K-A-P-W-A-N-I, and then her last name, K-I-W-A-N-G-A. And there is a wonderful profile of you on sort of this artist website. Mm-hmm. And they do talk about your work. Maybe you're not
very
aware
nicely.
Of it.
Who are these people?
You can check her out at the Scottish Arts Council, which is online at scottisharts.org.uk. They've got some nice, interesting articles also about the Edinburgh media base, where Kapwani is training development coordinator.
Oh, I was. I
she
just
was.
Finished. I'm now working with Young People Speak Out, which is very similar work, but with working with younger children.
Yeah, could we
Excellent.
Just get a little info on that? Just
on
quick,
Young People Speak
yeah.
Out. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a one woman team. I go out to wherever people actually want to give me 6 weeks of their time, and I take a few hours a week and train or help produce short videos that the young people would like to make, whether that be a documentary, a drama, a music video, whatever, and try to just give them the skills and sometimes push some social issues if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Excellent. And realize what their vision is artistically.
Mm-hmm.
And that can actually be checked out at ypso.tv, so youngpeoplespeakout.tv.
Check it all out. Thanks so much, Kapwani.
Thank you.
Glad to catch you while you were flying through town. Next week, the XX Files begins its summer schedule.
Yes.
Highlights and the best ofs.
That's right.
Begin anon.
And just for people who may have nothing to do on Thursday, June 16th, which is tomorrow, especially if the weather ain't so great, the Infringement Festival is still going on, and Travesty Theatre is very pleased to present their Infringement Cabaret from the director who brought to Montreal audiences the most agonizing stretch of theatre I endured. That's from Our Magazine. It's taking place at Café Clio on the second floor. That's at 12:30. Boulevard Saint Laurent. Doors open at 8 p.m., showtime at 9, and it's $5 to get in. The Dead Doll Dancers and the Oops Johnny Girls will be there, along with mysterious special guests. And don't forget, it's also La Frenésie de Boulevard Saint Laurent. It's closed off starting tomorrow for the big sidewalk sale.
The traffic
so
come on,
he's nodding
today.
Her head thinking, I'm going to pick up some cheap umbrellas and sunglasses and $2 CDs.
I'm just thinking, where am I going to fit it? My small backpack. I have too many CDs in it at the moment.
You can buy another small pack back there for
there
less
goes.
Than a dollar.
They bring out the stuff that didn't sell last year, every single year.
And this year, I am getting those gold flip-flops. I don't care what my husband
And the platform
says.
Boots. Don't forget those.
No, no, no. I can't do those. I fell down too many times in this.
Anyways,
fashion can be dangerous.
Of course, but Montreal's always awesome in the summer, and we wish Kapwani a great trip back to Edinburgh, no matter what route you take.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks very much. Great to be here.
We want to go and visit you.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
You're all welcome.
And now we're going to go out with some of the new style gospel from Lady Piccina. This is the XX Files. Ciao.
Ciao.
Happy summer. Buon estival.
CKUT's 2020 funding drive has been postponed indefinitely, but we are still accepting donations to help us sustain the station's operations while we remain closed due to COVID-19. Our wide network of volunteers provides an essential service to many different communities in Montreal, and the isolation of the past few months has highlighted how important independent news, arts and culture, and music programming is for Montreal's underrepresented communities. If you are in a position to give during this time, visit ckut.ca and click on the green Donate button to make a contribution, or contact funding@ckut.ca if you have any questions. Thank you for your continued support. Love, CKUT.
The dream. sit at home with a light in the window, back to the fire and eyes to the sea. I sit at home